Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Highlight Al Michaels back on Sunday Night Football. New Year's Eve 2006. Welcome back in. Nick Szczepkowski, Greg Gabriel with you for another hour. Getting you ready for Bears and Rams tonight at Soldier Field, 7:20 kickoff. As always, pregame show with Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley. That starts up 4 o'clock today until 7:20. Then the postgame show right after the final whistle, the final gun. It'll be Olin Krutz, Hub Arkish, and James Big Cat Williams. Catch all of them. Both shows, Leader Bar, 3000 West Irving Park Road, that in the city of Chicago, all brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. For more on the Bears and that highlight, the man responsible for it, man responsible for many highlights, his time in a Bears uniform, good old number 31, Nathan Vasher, kind enough to join us this morning. Good morning, Nate. How's things going?
Pretty good. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great, Nate. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm actually watching my daughter. She's playing basketball. I'm at Northwestern right now, and they have a morning basketball game. So I'm out running around.
You're being a good dad.
Well, yeah.
I got to tell a funny story about Nate. Nate was never the biggest guy when he played for the Bears.
Sure.
You know, 185, 188 pounds. So this is about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. Nate and I work at the same gym, but I hadn't seen him in a few years because after he stopped playing, he left town for a while and then came back. So anyway, I'm in this place in Gurnee lifting, and this guy waves at me. And I see him, like, oh, I know that face, you know, but I didn't know who it was. So he comes over and he goes, hey, Greg, how you doing? And it was Nate. See, Nate, like I said, was this guy that wasn't that big. You should see the guns on him now.
Sure.
He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger now.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, keep moving and staying healthy and stuff. And I saw you in there. I was trying to keep up with you in there. I see you still moving around pretty good.
Well, you haven't seen me in a few weeks. I'm getting a little heavy. But Nate, let me ask you this. You know, you played a long time in the NFL, very successful career. You know, now you're in the next phase of your life, and you've chose coaching. You're at Carmel. You're the defensive coordinator at Carmel and Mundelein.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing exactly what you want to do? Is this what you think your vocation is, you know, going forward, is to help young kids and use your expertise as a football player on the now as a coach, so you could teach and develop them?
Yeah, I believe it is, and it's one of those things. As soon as I got done playing, I got right on the track of wanting to get into coaching and understand the day-to-day activities of how, you know, practice is structured, all the moving parts on how you know, to run a practice, and I fell in love with it. I went back to the University of Texas and moved back to Austin there and finished up my degree and started student coaching there and volunteering and doing a lot of GA work, and just always wanted to be a part of the game and just working with young people. I mean, it's a passion for me. I had a ton of great coaches that you know, that believed in me and inspired me to go out and do that. And I mean, I feel like football is the greatest game in the world, to where it gives you that opportunity to literally get knocked down and learn from adversity and deal with it in life. And it's been awesome.
Now, you guys, I know, had a rough go at it this year, your first year at Carmel. How's it look going forward for the future?
Oh, it looks great. It looks great. We're losing a few seniors this year, talented guys that I feel like probably get a chance to go off and play at the next level. But we played a ton of young guys going into the season, and you know you're going to take them on. That's just what's going to happen. I mean, and even at the quarterback position, we have a returning quarterback, and, you know, just continue to keep getting better week after week. And we really played tough defensively. We played with an attitude, and just trying to get turnovers. And I mean, it's cool to see young guys, YouTubing all the interceptions and team-up punch videos and stuff. And I was like, God, I spent a lifetime watching, Charles Tillman and Tommy Harris and all those guys continue to keep doing that. And doesn't matter what level you're at, it's still about running the ball. It's about tackling, making big plays. And it's fun to watch those guys continue to get better this year.
Nate, how does this Bears defense compare to your stellar defenses in the 05-06 years?
Oh, man, it's been an absolute joy to watch these guys this year. And there's something different about the way that they're taking the field and playing at a high level. And, I mean, it's very reminiscent of how, during those times that you just expected to get make plays offensively and defensively. And those guys, I feel like they have all the pieces to be special units for a number of years.
Nate, a couple weeks ago, Shep and I had Jerry Angelo on, and it was the same day the Bears played Minnesota on the Sunday night game. And Jerry said his big question going into that game was, were the Bears, being that they're a young team and they hadn't been in this situation of having to play a big game like that, were they ready for it? Were they ready for that national exposure and play good at the right time? Well, obviously they did. They beat Minnesota, and they beat them handily. Now you're in a situation against a better football team. Do you remember having those type of situations when you were with the Bears? And can you talk about that a little bit, about how you prepared and how the team prepared for playing those big games?
I can remember playing the Carolina Panthers, and I think at home, and we ended up beating those guys pretty handily. I want to say it was the 06 year, I believe, Greg, but we ended up playing those guys twice, and they beat us in the playoffs later on. But it was one of those years to where you felt like you had to start taking that step, and all the work that you put in towards, going through the offseason and start rolling up wins. Like, a lot of times that the wins aren't always pretty, but you got to find a way to win and pull it out. Even if it is just special teams or coming up with a big play on defense. But I remember playing against the Carolina Panthers. We had a ton of sacks. It was a national game. And, I think that was when we really just started to believe that, we were going to be a good team.
How does it go week to week? When you're in a year, because I remember that 05 team, the expectations with Kyle Orton coming in as a starter, it wasn't like it was, oh, this is a team that's going to win the NFC North. This is going to be a team that competes for a Super Bowl, but you guys are hosting a playoff game that year. How do expectations kind of, because this Bears team's going through it too. As the year's gone on, expectations continue to grow and grow and grow. How, as a player, do you adjust to that in the moment in the season?
Well, I think it's just taking every week by week. I know it's very cliche to make sure you take
You got
care
the coach
business,
speak thing is, down well so far.
Yeah. You got to make sure that you get those done every week. And, I mean, it's the belief and the confidence those guys are playing with. I mean, you look forward to it, and you're closing out the last part of the season, and it's all about finish. So I'm sure that those guys are preaching that to each other. They're holding each other accountable every week. And, I mean, they know what they have in front of them. So as long as they continue to keep handling business like that, I think the sky's the limit. But, yeah.
Nate, when you were in college and also when you were in the NFL, you were known as a ball hawk, a great ball skills, very good hands. In your estimation, is that an innate thing, or is that more of a learned skill? In other words, is it instinct versus practice at having those types of ball skills? Because we see a guy like Kyle Fuller, who for the longest time, he didn't have a lot of interceptions and didn't seem to find the ball. And this year he's got six. It's a lot better. What, in your estimation, is it? Is it? Or is it a combination of the two? It's instinctive and learned.
Yeah, I think you got it right. I think it's a combination of the two. And just from my experience, even in high school and in college, I'm a former wide receiver. I used to spend a lot of time with the quarterbacks and wideouts moving to DB. But just understanding route concepts and timing of routes. And even with Kyle Fuller, as he's gotten older, he's gotten more seasoned. He's becoming more of a student of the game to where you can understand down the distances and formation recognition. That kind of communication throughout a defense can really help you with some plays. I mean, Mike Brown, Chris Harris, all those guys like were so good at recognizing formations and you communicate. And, you can never do too much communication. There are no secrets out there in the secondary. And, it's just a combination of preparing and then having the confidence when you do see that three-step or that wide receiver with that oversplit. You have to know that your film study is taking over, and I have the confidence to go and go make a play.
Speaking with Nathan Vasher here, played with the Bears from 04 to 09. This question more for Greg than for Nate, but Nate needs to hear your answer on it. Of all the draft picks, the middle round, late round picks that you guys hit on in that time, where does Nate rank on the not necessarily biggest surprises, but the biggest hits?
Well, we got Nate in the fourth round, and we always felt we prepared real hard for those middle rounds. And back then, the fourth round was the first round of the second day. And, our grade was better than a fourth-round grade on Nate. But we thought, we got some good players in the fourth round. Alex Brown came in the fourth. Kyle Orton came in the fourth. Nate came in the fourth. But one of the reasons, and I was thinking about bringing this up anyway, that Nate lasted that long is that, if I recall, you did not work out at the combine, right, Nate?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so he works out at the pro day, and he jumps real good. His vertical and his long jump were real good. His agility drills were outstanding. I mean, like upper echelon as compared to the other corners in his class. And then he doesn't run the good 40. Now, I don't know why Texas always, when I was at your pro day, you guys used to run the 40 in that strip of old AstroTurf in the weight room. I thought that was one of the slowest surfaces in the nation. But anyway, you guys did. But Nate didn't run good. Chris Ballard went back and got him at a lot faster time. And I think that's why he lasted. So let me ask you this. Why didn't you run fast?
I think it's just a combination of, guys will go through and you'll see. I think it's a combination of nerves. You want to do so well. You prepare for these things. And, some days you just don't hit. And then, you can come out and watch a kid work out and do other stuff, a few days later, and it's totally different. But for myself, all I wanted was an opportunity. I wanted an opportunity to play at the next level. And, I always felt like whatever team I got with and stuck with, I wanted to be there and be there for a long time. And I was so fortunate to have – the guys that give me an opportunity like yourself and Chris Ballard, who's another mentor for me right now. Daryl Drake was another guy that I spent my whole career at Texas with and, 5 or 6 years here in Chicago. So where, guys that know football, know how to put teams together, personalities make a big difference with, how guys gel together with one another. And it was an awesome, awesome situation. I'm so grateful.
So, Nate, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I used to tease you about this when you were with the Bears. When you were at Texas, nobody came out early. I think the quarterback, Young, was like the first junior that came out. Sed Benson, who should have come out, after his junior year, after the career he had, he stayed in through the 4 years. And I used to say to Nate, I'd say, Nate, what would they do, give you an oil well or a piece of an oil well? that you guys stay in school and never come out early. So what? Tell us the truth now. Why'd you guys stay in school?
It's being there in Austin, Texas. It's an unbelievable city. I mean, you want to be there and actually as long as you can. I know some guys that stayed there 5 and 6 years. I mean, they never wanted to leave that place. But it's an unbelievable institution. It's like a family atmosphere. And Coach Brown, I mean, he was the main thing. You never wanted to leave those coaches. You fell in love with the program and in the city, and you wanted to play on prime time on the big stage against some of the best competition in the country. So, that was just, a piece of it. And I really enjoyed my time there. And 10 years removed from, having an NFL career, having a chance to go back and finish up my undergraduate studies there. I mean, I saw the education the football experience with totally different eyes, and I definitely took advantage of it.
Nate, are you surprised Coach Brown's getting back into it at UNC?
Oh, man, I'm so excited for Coach Brown. Like, he is one of those guys that, you know, he was a head coach there and got a start and made that program, recruited his tail off. I mean, there's so many things I lean on him about and try to learn from. But yeah, I knew that I'm actually really excited that he got a chance to get back and do it there at that place at North Carolina.
Nate, we appreciate you taking the time this morning. All the best with the coaching that's going on with you now. All the best at your daughter's basketball game as well this Sunday morning.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you guys for having me, man. Good luck to the Bears tonight.
Thanks, Nate. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon, Greg.
It's Nathan Vasher, former Bears All-Pro, guy that you're partly responsible for drafting as well. This is how my scouting went when I was like 17 or 18 years old. I loved the Nathan Vasher pick because not because like I watched a ton of Texas games. It was before the Longhorn Network, before the Big Ten networks, and every team was on every week. But the old NCAA video game, he was like a 96 or 97 rating in this game. I'm like, hey, get him in the fourth round. That's guaranteed to be a steal. It's Nick Shepkowski, Greg Gabriel with you, talking some Bears and Rams. We haven't taken a whole lot of your phone calls. You have questions about this game. You have thoughts on this game. You have comments about it. Feeling good about it, feeling bad about it, either way, we'll take your calls. 312-644-6767. Take your telephone calls, take your text messages at 67011 as well there. But no, Nate Vasher had a heck of a Bears career, had a heck of a career in the NFL, only, what, 8 years or so in it, but 20 interceptions, led the league in picks 1 year. Fun to catch up with him, fun to talk some old Bears days as well.
Went to the Pro Bowl, was named also All-Pro. You know, he was one of what we had when we were here, we drafted 12 guys that went to the Pro Bowl in the 9 years that I was, you know, head of the college scouting department.
Yeah, God knows how many of them went to multiple Pro Bowls in that run, too.
A ton, but I sometimes I think we don't get the credit that we deserve for the amount of good players. We missed on some top guys, but I think, you know, from top to bottom, we had some really strong drafts.
Yeah, that's always the easy thing to go back on. Of all this first rounder didn't work out. This first or second rounder was out of the league in 3 years. Then you look at where the drafts are made in those middle rounds, and it's, you're right, for years and years there, it was guys that stayed in the league. Maybe they weren't megastars. I mean, Nate Vasher was pretty damn near a star for a short run there. But a lot of guys that stay in the league and add depth to the roster, you find a lot of those in those draft runs. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. Like I said, text messages welcome as well. On an hour here on The Score, being brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. It's Nick Shepkowski and Greg Gabriel taking your calls on Bears and Rams next on The Score.
They do a great job inside and up front in general of isolating him and being very creative in a lot of ways that are damaging to a front and to a quarterback and to an offensive plan.
That's the voice of Mark Helfrich, Bears offensive coordinator, how they plan to attack the Los Angeles Rams. I feel like I'm a kid again with them being in Los Angeles again. It's going to take me years and years to adjust to that. But how they're going to attack the Los Angeles Rams offensively this week and protect against Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh wreaking havoc on the Bears offense. 312-644-6767, your telephone number to call. Text messages as well at 67011 is where you can send those. As some people chiming in with some good memories of Nathan Vasher, obviously the 108-yard field goal return for a touchdown against the Niners on a memorable day at Soldier Field. Probably as windy of conditions as you're ever going to find there on one of just the stranger afternoons where he had that return that was then an NFL record, longest return in league history to be broken exactly a year later by Devin Hester as he did the same thing against the Giants up at a MetLife Stadium in 2006, but some people chiming in on the text line.
If I recall, that kick was kicked from the left hash, and he got it almost to the sideline in the end zone, deep in the sideline. That's how far the wind pushed that ball to the right.
Yeah, and that was – I always like giving our buddy Pat Manley, and he'll be on the pregame show like he is each and every week. I always like giving him a hard time because he claims he only had one bad day in terms of snaps in his NFL career, and that was it. And then you pull up the highlights on YouTube that are still here to this day, and you see – Pat Manley, more games played in a Bears uniform than anyone else, but that was a rough afternoon for the lad, as it was for pretty much everyone that was trying to throw a ball, trying to kick a ball, any of that. And you can catch Pat Manley with Hub Arkish on the pregame show today, 4 p.m. to 7:20. Catch the postgame show with Hub, Olin Kreutz, Big Cat Williams. Roughly 10:30 is when that game will end. They'll go 2 hours after the game. It'll be a Leader Bar, 3000 West Irving Park Road in the city of Chicago. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Enjoy Miller Lite specials there. Brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. Sean McVay, no doubt about it. Like, he's pretty much the model NFL coach right now. You look at what teams are doing, where the hirings are going, and that's young offensive mastermind that you try to pair up with a young quarterback, and you try to do essentially what Rodgers and Mike McCarthy did for the last 13 years. Pair them together and have the same system in place year after year after year. McVay's doing that with Goff. Matt Nagy, an example of that. Getting paired up with Trubisky, and you hope that for the next 10 years or so, they're clicking on all cylinders and running the NFC North. There was something with Sean McVay this week, though. I'm not questioning he's a great coach. How quickly he turned around the Rams thing that was dysfunction for a good 15 years into a playoff team last year, probably the favorite in the NFC right now to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Not questioning what he does as a head coach, but there was something that happened this week that I thought was so overrated and overloved in terms of what a coach can do. Have a guess of what it was?
Oh yeah, he's given a rundown of the Bears,
mm-hmm.
offense and defense, and he goes through every player. And then I think it was ESPN who tweeted it out. What a great coach! And some other guy, Dustin Fox, who's a former
Ohio
NFL player.
State guy. Yeah.
Yeah, Ohio State guy. He has a radio show in Cleveland. He said, that's the way I want my head coach to be. Well, guess what, guys? Every coach in the National Football League can do that. That's their job to do that, to know the other team and to know that team, you know, from top to bottom, know who plays well, who plays weak. And he left a guy out. He left out Eddie Goldman, so he didn't get an A+. He just got an A.
Yeah, I think Eli has that actual sound from earlier this week with Sean McVay.
Look at their front. Hicks is doing an excellent job. Obviously, Khalil Mack is an outstanding player, and they do move him around a little bit. You know, he's moved around where he's sometimes on the left, sometimes on the right. Leonard Floyd is a player that's gotten a lot better. You know, really, you just look at a couple years ago when I was in Washington, we played them, and you can just feel his growth and maturation. Aaron Lynch is always a guy that's made a lot of plays. And then when you look at their second level, you feel their speed. You know, you see why Roquan Smith's a top 10 pick, got a great feel and coverage. He can blitz and finish. Trevathan's been doing it for a long time. And then on the back end, I think, you know, you see all those ball skills where guys are making picks. You know, you talk about, I want to say it's 21 interceptions they have as a defense. Kyle Fuller has 6 on his own. He's got great instincts. He can play with great vision on the quarterback, and he plays with great technique. Mukamura is a guy that you've always seen. Just going back to when I was in Washington, when he was in the division with the Giants, he's a very good physical player. Bryce Callahan's gotten better at the nickel spot. And then when you look at Eddie Jackson, the instincts, the range, you know, he makes a lot of different plays, and Amos is a guy that's been doing it for a long time too. So great scheme.
Yeah, that's what there is earth-shattering. Like, you're an NFL head coach. By the time he's met the media on, what was that, Tuesday that audio came
Wednesday.
Out? Wednesday that audio came out. How many times has he probably watched Bears film before that?
All Monday and Tuesday was doing nothing but prepare for the Bears. And like I said, that's his job. He's supposed to know who can play good and who can't play good for that team. Why a lot of people in the media made a big deal out of it is really beyond me. Well, because it was just... You know, he went through the team or the defensive side of the ball. He went through, these are the guys who can play, these are the guys who can't. The next day they had Wade Phillips do it, and he was trying to make fun of the whole situation, mm-hmm. trying to name all the guys on the offense, and he couldn't. And then he pulled out the Trubisky mm-hmm. thing instead of Trubisky, and our buddy Pat Manley obviously made fun of that with his tweet.
Yeah, saying that he sounded like a score caller, which he very much did.
Hadn't they called in the score every day?
Right. The newsworthy or noteworthy thing is that Sean McVay gave an actual answer is kind of the thing. Like any NFL coach that's been sitting and watching day after day of tape, probably, God knows, 20-some times by the time he's met the media on Wednesday, yeah, he's going to know tendencies of players. Usually they don't share that information. We're used to, whether it's the Lovie Smith years here, John Fox, Mark Trestman, they might put together sentences. They don't say a whole heck of a lot to the media. And there was nothing earth-shattering there from McVay. Okay, they move Hicks around, and he's been really good so far. That part's great. But, like, there wasn't anything earth-shattering of, like, oh, this is what the Bears do, and this is what makes them special. It's like, okay, yeah, I noticed those players, and here's kind of a real small scouting report on each of them. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty overblown, some of the love that it was getting. Oh, my God, he knows everything. Well, yeah, he gets paid millions of dollars to do so.
That's right.
It's Nick Schepkowski, Greg Gabriel with you, 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. Text messages welcome as well, 67011. We go down I-65 to Indianapolis. Welcome in, Dick. He's next on the score. What's up, Dick?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening all day, and I keep hearing about Jordan Howard being an impact player, getting 70, 80 yards on the ground. The Rams' defense, I think, their weakness is the run defense, so I think he can get 120, 130. What are your thoughts on that? And then I'd also like to give a quick shout-out to Grandpa Dan Nolan, one of the biggest Bears fans of all time. He passed away last week, holding the services for him today, so I'm hoping the Bears can get a big win for him tonight. Thanks for taking my call. What are your thoughts on Jordan Howard? How many yards can you get on the ground today?
Well, looking at the Rams' defense, they're giving up right now 118 yards a game on the ground, pretty much right in the middle of things. The Bears obviously haven't been a good running team. When you look at the total yardage that the Bears have, it's really right in the mix with a lot of other teams, but that includes a lot of runs by the quarterback, by Mitch Trubisky. It's that the running backs have not been that productive as runners. I think part of it is they're getting used to this new scheme. They haven't emphasized the run as much as you'd like to see the run emphasized. And then when you talk to Matt Nagy, and he refers to it, you know, you have a lot of these run-pass options, so it could be a pass play, could be a run play. He said they're going to take what the defense gives them, and the defense has been giving them, you know, it's been more open for the pass play or the short pass play than it has been the running game. Do I think it's something that needs to improve? Yeah, I think, you know, every Bears fan in Chicago thinks the run game has to improve. And hopefully it will, but you have to have that mentality to be a good running team. And right now, I don't see the Bears having that mentality. They started to show it last week against the Giants. They got away from it for some reason in the second half.
How much do the Bears miss Kyle Long? Like, how much would Kyle Long being healthy, which I know you can't say because he's been beat up for years now, how much would that change the run game?
Well, he's a Pro Bowl guard. I mean, so that obviously helps pass protection and the run game. You know, he's a big guy, a big athletic guy. And speaking of Kyle Long, they're saying, you know, not out of the question that he comes back for the last game or for the playoff game if they make the playoffs. So, you know, they're not going to say exactly how he's done in rehab, but I know that it has been brought up that there is a chance that he can play in the last game of the season. And obviously, if he's playing there and he stays healthy, he'll be in the be with the team for the playoffs.
Yeah, I look at that, and it's not even so much that they can't run, and numbers have shown that they haven't been able to. They haven't put an emphasis on it. And I don't know, is that something that has to, in order for the Bears to have big time success, not just sniff the playoffs or get to the first round of the playoffs, but in order for them to win an NFC, which we hope they do, whether it's this year, next year, somewhere in the near future, is that something that has to be present in the modern NFL? Because we see it all goes away from it time and time. Oh, it's more passing, short passing. You can eat up the clock that way, and you can grind out the clock by these high completion percentage type passes. Like, because of the fact they play in the NFC North, where their home field is, by the time January comes around, we've seen that field. The thing's a disaster. There's no such thing as grass on it. It's like spray-painted dirt.
Yeah, speaking of that, this field's been really in great shape this
so
year.
Far, yeah. Yeah. Knock on wood, it has been. We'll
and
see.
There's only
two games left.
Yeah, tonight and one other game, and then a playoff game. But what they do is they resod the thing, and they can resod it again, you know, for the playoffs if they feel it needs be. But, you know, looking at the running game, you know, I mentioned the Rams averaging 108 or giving up 118 yards a game. The Bears are averaging 115 a game. So, you know, if the Bears get in that 120-yard range tonight with the run game, they're doing what they have done throughout the season and what the Rams have been prone to give up.
That's Greg Gabriel. I'm Nick Shepkowski, 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. I also look at the run game, and it's not your traditional run game, okay? Howard was awesome his first 2 years in the league. He's taken a step back this year. Cohen, anytime he touches the ball, he's exciting. He's a playmaker, but God, he tends to just get blasted as a smaller guy, and it kind of scares you. Like, okay, is he going to get up this time? Their run yards have come, but they're not necessarily the traditional way. Trubisky, one of his best skills so far he's shown in his career, especially this year, are when he decides to run, picking and choosing his spots. Like, he was huge in that game against Minnesota. A couple times he extended drives. He was absolutely huge, was it the couple of other games throughout the year, in that it's not just, all right, because nothing else is there, he chooses to bring the ball down and tuck it and run. And he's not just doing it because nothing else is open, but he's doing it at timely parts where I don't know if it's necessarily designed that way, but he's shown an art and a skill of, all right, it's not just live to see another down, it's find another set of downs, because so often he's running for a first down or big yardage.
Well, it's vision and instincts, and he sees the field really well now as he becomes more experienced. And you see it as he's become more comfortable within this system, he sees the whole field a lot better. He sees the opening of, hey, I can run. I can get eight or nine yards. What I think he's improved in, now granted he got hurt, and he got hurt on a late hit, really, but he's been taking what's there and then hitting the ground. It's not like, you know, you've seen Josh Allen for Buffalo play it off. Josh Allen, when he has the ball in his hand, he becomes a running back and he starts attacking defenders. Mitchell doesn't do that. You know, he gets the first down, gets 8 yards if it's there, hits the deck, and, you know, hopefully doesn't get the cheap shot like he got against the Vikings. But, yeah, it is an art. It's a skill set. But part of it is that he has that vision and the instincts that I mentioned before, that he can see the field and see where he can find those openings and get the yardage. The important thing is that you extend drives, you get first downs, you want to stay on schedule. You don't want to be in a second and nine, second and 10. You want to be in a second and six or better. And his ability to pick up those few yards has kept the Bears on schedule, so to speak, and that's been very important for the offense.
Yeah, and part of the one thing that does worry me with that, and you saw it a little bit on the Harrison Smith hit on him, did end up being a flag, and understandably so. He doesn't look comfortable when he slides, and I don't know if you have to get him in with the Cubs in spring training or what it is, but he has shown kind of the inability in that sense that I do have worries about his slide ability. And if that can get righted, because that could be another monstrous hit waiting to happen. 312-644-6767, telephone number to call. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And Ryan, next up on the Score. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Up here in Fond du Lac, representing my Chicago Bears today.
Are you one of the few?
Yeah. I love it, man. I get crap all the time, but it's great this year.
Well, thanks for calling.
Hey, so I wanted to ask you guys about Adam Shaheen. You know, he hasn't really been talked about much, and I feel like he's going to be a big weapon for the Bears going forward. You know, I feel like he's going to be kind of our red zone guy, and Trey Burton will be kind of the down-the-field guy. I kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts on how you think they'll use our two tight ends now. I feel like it's been an upgrade this year since we've kind of moved on from Deion Sims.
Ryan, I agree with you. In fact, I wrote an article about it when he first came off of IR. It looked like he was going to come off of IR. Problem is he got a concussion in his first game back, actually catching a touchdown pass. And what's he have, Shep? Three receptions?
Yeah,
he's got three
many.
Receptions on the year. He's only played in two games. And two of them are touchdowns. I think that he is going to be a big part of this offense this last four games. And one of the reasons, and I had mentioned it a few weeks ago, is that the Bears in recent weeks have only been having four wide receivers active. And that tells me they're planning on using two tight ends more. And so I think that there's going to come a time, and maybe we're going to see it tonight, who knows, where he is going to end up being a big part of the offense. And because there's not a lot of tape of him in this offense, it can be a weapon because it hasn't been seen by the defenses so far.
What is it about the tight end position? Because I know Gronk made a splash his first year. That's a guy that's, I mean, one of the greatest tight ends of all time now. 10 years into his career, we can look back and say. But he's kind of the exception to the rule. What is it about the tight end position that takes so much time to grow at the NFL level?
Well, it's finding the right guy. And it's because of this. If you find guys like Gronk and Shaheen has the size and the athleticism, it's the mismatches that they create mm-hmm. with the defense. You got a guy that's 6'6", 260 pounds, who runs really well, being guarded by a linebacker or a strong safety. And so he's as fast as a strong safety. He's bigger and faster than any of the linebackers around him. So you've got a mismatch, especially when you're 6'6", like he is, and you have that reach that he has. So you throw the high and away ball, and it becomes very difficult to defend those guys.
That's Greg Gabriel. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. 312-644-6767 is your telephone number to call. We pause for a timeout. More Bears-Rams discussion, why we both have the Bears winning tonight, and some of your telephone calls before noon on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Where we're figuring out the identity, individually, who our guys are. And so now you can start creating some game plans specifically for those players, and so you don't go looking for it; it just kind of naturally happens with some guys, and then you stay away from certain concepts or plays routes from your own players, and you feel it. And so the longer we're together, our players will come to me and say, "Hey, listen, I'm not feeling this concept. I don't really understand it, or can you tell me why?" And then now they do it. Now it's a good concept.
Matt Nagy on scheme and development of this offense. Welcome back in. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Bottom of the hour being brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Another year stuck paying your timeshare's annual maintenance fees. If your timeshare is no longer working for you and you need out, call Timeshare Exit Team, 844-915-EXIT, 844-915-EXIT, or visit TimeshareExitTeam.com. It's Nick Szczepkowski, Greg Gabriel with you today, getting you ready for Bears and Rams coming up later on today on The Score. We'll have CBS Sports Radio coming up at noon. The good news for that is they do the bounce around the league, all the noon games. They'll get you there, get you live updates. It's almost like NFL Red Zone on the radio, what they do up until 4 o'clock today. And then it'll be Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley out and about Leader Bar, 3000 West Irving Park Road here in the city of Chicago. Pre- and post-game show live from Leader Bar. Check it out with Patrick Manley, Hub Arkish until kickoff, starting at 4 p.m., goes until kickoff. That's followed by Hub, Olin Krutz, James Big Cat Williams for 2 hours after the game. Meet the guys, watch the game, enjoy Miller Lite specials. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. Again, Leader Bar, 3000 West Irving Park Road here in the city of Chicago. 312-644-6767. A few more minutes to go here with myself and Greg Gabriel today. Some NFL news going on out there today. According to ESPN, the Cowboys are trying to get Jason Witten to leave the booth and come back and play tight end for them here the last couple of weeks of the season. And also reports are out, Reggie McKenzie likely on his way out in Oakland after this year. What do you make of either of those?
Well, you know, I can understand why Dallas would want Jason Witten back. He was an integral part of their offense for years. Same time, you know, players leave the league and they're for sure retiring. Mm-hmm. You know, their bodies go through a huge transformation, and guys that were, you can look at Olin. You know, Olin played at 290 pounds, 285 most of his career. Now he's about 240. You know, they lose weight. I don't know what, or don't remember what Jason Witten played at. But seeing him in the booth, he doesn't look as big as he was. He's probably already dropped 20 pounds. Is he capable of stepping out of the booth and going on the field and playing when he hasn't had any football activity really since last season?
Sure.
And it's, as far
11 months worth now.
Right. And as far as the Raiders thing coming from the source, that remains to be seen.
You know, wait until it's actually in place. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. Los Angeles, Jack has thoughts on this contest. What's up this morning, Jack?
Hi, guys. I'm calling from Los Angeles. I've been watching the Rams all year terrify and consume offensive lines, and You know, I'm a Bears fan for life, and my question for you guys is, what do you think the Bears can do offensively? What do you think Nagy has dialed up to deal with the formidable defensive line that the Rams have, and what is your confidence level in the guard play for the offensive line for the Bears? I'll sign off. Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, you know, we've talked about that for, you know, a good part of the morning. Obviously, the interior, the two guard positions, you got Daniels at the left guard, and he's a, you know, a rookie, young guy. Witzman actually started, I think, 13 games for Kansas City last year. It's not like he's an inexperienced player, but he's not a Pro Bowler like Kyle Long, who he replaced because of an injury. You know, these are the weak points of the Bears' interior line. But as far as what are the Bears going to do? The Bears are going to do what they've been doing all season, and that's one of the strong points of Matt Nagy as the head coach, as the play caller, and the guy who designs the offense. He says, stop me. I'm going to do what I do. You stop me. And that hasn't changed from game one up until now. I think you're going to see a lot of what we've seen. There'll be areas that they're going to try to exploit. I think the secondary is weak for the Rams. They're going to go after that. But obviously, you know, so that Aaron Donald doesn't be as disruptive as he can be, you're going to have some quick passes.
Yeah, that part of it. I mean, who normally maybe in a game plan that doesn't have a huge game are you looking at to bust out then? Not to say that Cohen isn't a huge part of this offense, but is it dump off passes to him? Is it screen type stuff to him? What do you try to do to kind of like who's the person that benefits then from this game plan, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, that's been a unique thing of the Bears all season, and that it can change from week to week.
Right.
You know, one week it might be Cohen, another week it might be Robinson, another week it might be Taylor Gabriel. And I you know, listen to the soundbite of Matt Nagy at the beginning of the segment. You know, he basically said the same thing too, that there isn't a set go-to type person. They look at what the defense has to give, where they think they can attack that scheme, and then that player or one or two players can be the guy they're going to go to more than you saw, you know, just the week before. It changes literally week to week, and that's what I like about the offense.
Yeah, that's part that you look at it, and you can't help but think that is at least beneficial. Maybe not in favor of the Bears for this weekend or this tonight against the Rams, but it's definitely beneficial. Final couple moments here. You said at the start of the show you have the Bears winning a close game. I think the same thing. I look at everything that's gone into this week, all the little things to me, the little advantages that there are. And I'm not saying that in a playoff matchup that the Bears are going to be better than the Rams. I don't like their roster more than I like the Rams roster right now. Essentially, the Rams are where the Bears want to be in a year. But you factor in traveling, the Rams did to the Eastern time zone last week and back to L.A. Travel back to Chicago this week. The Bears, I mean, say what you want about last week. It was an ugly showing. I bought into it being a look-ahead type game, and I saw the recipe for disaster last week against the Giants, and that's kind of the way it played out. Why was it? Because it was such a look-ahead type game that the Bears play in the Rams this week. I think you get the best effort of the Bears so far this season. I think they play their best game to date, and they sneak by with the win. And ultimately, it's not going to clinch the NFC North, but puts a stranglehold on the division tonight with like a 25-23 type victory.
Yeah, I see a 24-21 game, and I think there's a bunch of little variables. This game is more important to the Bears than it is to the Rams. You look at the Rams schedule going forward, it's pretty easy. If they're going to lose a game, it's going to be this one, and they'll probably finish 12-2 if they do lose. The Bears need this game more than the Rams need it, and that's, you know, added with the other things we talked about. Bears by 3.
That's Greg Gabriel. I'm Nick Shepkowski. Thank you to Eli Herskovich, our producer on the other side, Eric Edholm, Tim Priester, and Nate Vasher all joined us. CBS Sports Radio coming up next. They'll get you through your first slate of noon NFL games. Then again, the pregame show, Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, Leader Bar in the city. Postgame show tonight, they're out and about at Leader Bar as well. Hub Arkish, Olin Kreutz, Big Cat Williams, and that's all brought to you by Miller Lite. CBS Sports Radio gets you started with the NFL noon games next. For Greg Gabriel, I'm Nick Shepkowski. Enjoy your Sunday, and hopefully we're talking about a Bears win come 10:30 or so tonight on The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.